The word freedom has a glorious sound to it. It corresponds to elemental urgency. Yet there are some who want no part of it. When the Allied armies broke down the gates of the Nazi concentration camps, they found that there were some inmates who were loath to walk out the gate. We all know of men and women, child men and women, who prefer to hang on to their mother's apron strings than to dare the stings of the world. The womb is comfortable, closed in, it protects. The world is open to the cold winds and the unexpected experience. It took our ancestors only 2 days of rugged trekking through the Sinai wilderness, 2 days of half rations before the many were complaining to Moses, "Take us back to the flesh pots of Egypt." There are many then who surprisingly prefer to be dependent, to be unfree. This explains in a way one of the most startling laws in our Bible. Judaism, as you know, has no truck with slavery. And yet in ancient times, economics were so primitive and agriculture was so time-consuming that the people could simply not do without serfs and slaves. And so the biblical law is by way of a compromise. One may take a slave, but every sabbatical year, every seventh year, the entire body of serfs must be let free. The purpose of the law is high-minded. But surprisingly, on the first sabbatical, and again on the second and on the third, there were slaves who said, "I do not want to be free. I prefer 3 square meals a day with my master than the responsibility of earning my own livelihood." And the Bible orders that such a man is to be brought to the public square of his city, and there his earlobe is to be pierced. Why? That he will bear with him always a public symbol that he is something less than a whole man. Why the ear? Because it was the ear which had heard God proclaim at Sinai, "I am the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." God proposes that man be free. And anyone who voluntarily gives up his freedom is violating, contaminating the rule of God. This psychology, by the way, helps us to understand another biblical rule. The Bible orders us to proclaim liberty unto the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof. Now, if freedom is an urgency, it would be redundant, unnecessary to proclaim it. It is already wanted, desperately. But if there are those who are afraid of freedom, who are too comfortable in their security, who feel that they cannot stand on their own 2 feet, then indeed it needs to be free, to be proclaimed. And lest any of us feel that this proclamation is to someone else at some other time in some other place, let me ask you how you would react to a program for fair housing and open housing covenants, or to an energetic program in our community for fair employment practices. Do we seek to temporize? Or do we plunge in? One of the rabbis in the Talmud put it this way. The true slavery in Egypt was not the bondage, but that the people became inured to it. That they came to accept it as a way of life, to be satisfied with it. How often we become satisfied with other kinds of bondages. We accept the life that others have planned for us rather than the life we need for ourselves. We buy the car that others tell us we ought to buy. We put our children in the school where others are putting their children. We buy a home in the suburb where others are building and buying. We have a life of our own as long as it agrees in all matters with the life of the community. We are in bondage to other people's wills and needs. Where is the freedom of decision? Independence of judgment? Where is freedom? And it is far easier, as we all know, to go along with a crowd, to accept someone else's way of life, than to build on one's own foundations, to determine according to one's own best judgment, to dare to strike out along a way which may not be well traveled. Freedom, wanted, is an urgency. Freedom won can be an ugliness. We see it all about us in our world. The nations, the peoples crying out, twisting the lion's tail, shouting, "Yankee, go home." And Yankee having gone home, the colonialist having packed up, there is worse chaos and confusion, bloodletting and bloodshedding than ever before. Freedom can be an ugliness, because freedom is not the absence of restraint. Freedom is not the voidance of all authority. Freedom is not that one giddy moment when we raise our rifle and shout, "The tyrant is dead, long live freedom." Freedom is a way of life under law. That which differentiates freedom from slavery is the quality of the law. Is it arbitrary or just? Imposed according to the will of an autocrat or self-imposed? But there is no freedom without purpose. There is no freedom without discipline. There is no freedom without law. We have, more personally, in America, a way of life which is called adolescence. Adolescence at best is an awkwardness. At its worst, it is bad manners compounded by door slamming, compounded by long periods of pouting silence, compounded by insecurity and anxiety, a terrible sense of loneliness. Why is there adolescence in America? In part because adults tolerate it. In part because all of us have misconstrued psychology to imply that he who disciplines a child somehow thwarts the individuality, the freedom, the opportunity to grow for that child. There is no freedom without law. Freedom won can often be an ugliness. There is a great difference between staying out to all hours of the night and making one's own way in the world. Why is there such an institution as adolescence in America? It is not genetic, inborn, necessary, inevitable. It occurs because all of us, are guilty of misunderstanding this precious concept, the basic ideal of our Passover holiday. Freedom to us is a frontier concept. The hero, half angel, half villain, gun belt on his hips, walking sturdily through the streets of the city, a law unto himself. Freedom means the absence of restraint. I will wear the clothes I wish to wear. I will speak the thoughts I wish to speak. I will go to the places I wish to go without any thought of consequence, self, family, or society. Freedom is an emptiness. All our lives, our men plan for what? For retirement. To be free of work. They live myopically. They focus all their energies to earn a living for their families, to build up some security. They long year after year for that moment, 65, the watch, the speech, the leisure, and hours of emptiness become days of emptiness, and days of emptiness become years of loneliness. And that which was a vital, vigorous personality disintegrates, loses a sense of its own dignity. We have a hollow man, unhappy with that for which he worked, wondering at the honor, the glory, the prize for which he had labored so long. And what of the lady, the mother, who fulfills every requirement of motherhood, who cares for her children single-mindedly, who watches their health and their growth and their education, and who longs for what? For their maturity, certainly, but for her own freedom from these routines. And it comes, and there is gossip, and there is grousing, and there are cards, and there is loneliness, empty hours, empty days, and empty years. Freedom is not an emptiness. Freedom is not life without routine or purpose. Freedom is life lived according to the urgency within. I am a man. I hope to achieve. I care for those among whom I live. I have high hopes for my country, my community, my world. I have a unique talent to paint, to play an instrument, to write, to teach, to help. This is my life. There are many things I must do along the way of life which are painful or onerous. I accept these. But when I am free, truly myself, I do not want to be alone, unwanted, unnecessary. I want to be part of a community. I want to contribute. I want to share that which is within me. I want to share the goodness, the fineness in others. Freedom is not a loneliness. There is freedom only in society. Freedom is not a breaking of all disciplines, but an accepting of those disciplines which are intrinsic, needed, basic, of the quick flesh. We cite adolescence. It is the most obvious of the awkward moments of life. But adolescence exists in our society simply because our children are innocent of, or more bluntly put, ignorant of what it means to be free. We tell them, consciously or unconsciously, freedom is independence. Give me liberty or give me death. Walk your own way. We fail to emphasize that freedom is a sharing. Freedom is a disciplining of our talents. The greatest musician does not become free to express his art until he has mastered the scale, until he has practiced for hours, for days. Then he becomes free. We become free by sharing. We become free by working out as citizens the laws which are to the benefit of all. Freedom is not equivalent to the atom, alone, bounded by no other being, alone and lonely in the material universe. Freedom is a necessity of man. Man is a social animal. Man relates to himself and to his world. Freedom is maturity. And our Passover holiday underscores again and again this simple theme. God gave the children of Israel 3 days. 3 days to sing of their triumph, to rejoice in the Exodus, to be amazed at their deliverance. And then he brought them to Sinai. And there he gave them a law. And he told them, ye are never again to be servants unto servants, but ye are ever after to be servants unto God. Freedom, service of God. Freedom is sharing. Freedom is a building together. It is a finding of oneself. It is not a scissoring, nor a walking alone. Israel became free, not when they crossed the Red Sea, but when they accepted the law at Sinai. Amen.